Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Live from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon, producer-engineer Jeremy Graves. Glad that you're with us for the Eagle Hour. This first segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Dickie's is the place to order your homecoming tailgate party.
I just had lunch at Dickie's, and I can just say it was phenomenal.
What'd you have as your sides?
Mac and cheese and fries.
Oh, you always go with the mac and
cheese. Yeah, the mac and cheese are the way to go.
No, cream spinach.
No.
I'm a big fan of the cream spinach. Mm. Anyway, you have all those choices when you go to Dickie's. And again, homecoming coming up this Saturday. That would be the place to go. Dickie's, a big supporter of Southern Miss and this radio program. To come a little bit later on, we'll be talking with Carly Makavica from the Southern Miss baseball program. We're going to be talking about Trick or Treat at the Pete tomorrow night. That and other stuff. But right now, our men's head basketball coach, Jay Ladner, joins us on the line to talk about tonight's black and gold scrimmage that will be staged at 7 o'clock at Reed Green Coliseum, a chance for Golden Eagle fans to see this year's version of the team. Coach, glad to have you with us. You ready to, it seems earlier every year, Coach, but we're ready to rock and roll.
It does, Kelly Deem. I appreciate y'all always having me on. You know, really excited to kind of get our first glimpse of kind of our team in more of a, as close to a game like situation as we can get. Of course, we'll have officials. There'll be Division One officials tonight if we can get that here in Reed Green.
We follow you. Yeah.
Forgive me for digressing there. But yeah, no, we'll have officials tonight and We'll kind of mix it up a little bit, and because we want to get a lot of different looks at our combinations, and so it won't be just a straight black gold scrimmage the entire 40 minutes. It'll be there'll be some switching of teams and so forth. Our team will be dressed out in their practice uniforms, which is a reversible jersey. So a lot of that will be we've spent a lot of time planning that so we can get again looks at combinations and chemistry and so forth. But it's exciting. The season's very close. Guys, of course, not to have too much coach speak. I'm sure if you talk to every one of the 357 Division I teams, everybody, they like their team right now, and they they're looking, everyone working hard and all that kind of, all the sign of, like I said, coach speak. But our guys truly have been a joy to work with. It's been a lot of fun. Chemistry's good. Really reminds me of our team a couple of years ago that won the league. Probably our most talented team. Doesn't mean that I'm making any bold predictions, but probably it is our most talented team. We just have more better players, I think, than we've had in the past, and hopefully we won't have to get into situations with injuries. But we've had a hard time, particularly last season, of being able to – it got way down in our depth chart, and toward the end of the season at one point we were out four starters. But, you know, that's part of it. I think we would be able to withstand that a little bit better this year. But it's certainly exciting and anxious to throw it up and kind of see where we are.
Coach, will there be teachable moments tonight in the scrimmage? I mean, will there be times that you'll stop and say, okay, we're going to work something right here?
Yes. There'll be times where we step out on the floor and correct things. We're going to try not to disrupt the flow very much. But certainly we'll be – appropriate times that we stop play. Of course, we've already talked to the officials about that. They're more than happy. They understand, you know, what we're doing.
Right.
And, so it's basically a practice is what it is. But the structure of practice will be more game-like and than normal. But, you know, we'll have the ability to do that, which is going to be the first time that we've been able to do that with actual officials. So I think we'll, you know, get a good look of kind of where we are tonight. And I think it's a good look for our fans. I mean, we've got there's been a lot of attention, a lot of phone calls, text messages, and so forth about people wanting to know what the situation is. It's Kelly. It's free of charge, like most of our things are. It's free of charge. We are asking the fans to consider. If they would, we'll be making kind of a push. I'll be on the microphone right before the game. Of course, I'm going to introduce all the players. And then, you know, we would love for them to join the Hardwood Club or our collective. That's the only way we can continue to grow our program in today's climate.
So,
but, you know, we'll make a little sales pitch for that. But other than that, it's free of charge, and hopefully everybody comes and has a great time.
And you'll get to see them on the floor tonight, but more in a social setting next week. Where the players will be kind of out of uniform, so to speak, and getting to shake hands. Tell us about the social that's going to take place next week for all the fans.
Okay, yep, got all kind of things. Look, I actually, if you'll let me, and I appreciate the airtime, of course, tonight, this is kind of what we have in order. For those that may be listening in the Jackson area, I'll be, and several of our coaches' assistants will be with me tomorrow at noon at the Hilton in Jackson for the Eagle Club Jackson luncheon. We'll be speaking there, and then from there we'll all do a little recruiting in the Jackson area tomorrow, and then I'll be in Macomb at 6 o'clock, actually Summit at 6 o'clock at Cypress Landing with a group of our fans over there at 6. And then next week, of course, we go to UNO on Tuesday for an exhibition game. And on Wednesday night is what you're referring to. We'll be at Brewski's for our annual Meet the Team night, which is, again, it's free of charge. There's food. Thank goodness the great folks, Brian McClellan and those guys at Brewski's, sponsor this every year. It's food and drink, and you get a chance to see the team as well as the cheer and Southern Misses. They're in there. And has become a really big event. There'll be some giveaways and some posters, and all the players will be available to talk to the fans as well. And then after, so we'll have that. That's the one you're referring to. That's
right.
Next Wednesday. And then we have our big tip-off celebration at the Hattiesburg Country Club on November the 1st. So there'll be some information. We've been flooding social media with it, and be plenty of information at tonight's scrimmage be handed out. And anyway, it's a busy, busy time of year, but we're excited about the team.
Dima, mixing with that kind of schedule, you would be hard pressed to think that Jay Ladner's not opening for Taylor Swift with that kind of a tour schedule.
Could you give us a little riffle, Coach?
Hey, listen, I'll tell you this: if I had Taylor Swift's money, I probably wouldn't be here at Reed Green Coliseum. I tell you that. I would be tailing Foreigner or one of those bands wherever they were playing.
All right, maybe opening for the Molly Ringwalds.
Yeah, who's the rapper?
I would just have the Molly Ringwalds
Bunny or whatever his name is.
Or Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny, yeah. That's right. Yeah, Bad Bunny. Coach,
always like to bring him up.
isn't it just surreal almost that the basketball season is this close? And I guess, you know, when you look at your team, I know that you already talked about how you feel like it's your most talented team, but I'm just curious your thoughts on, you know, why that is, if it's depth, if it's talent, or you just feel like this team to you is just the best team altogether.
Dima, probably a combination.
Yeah.
First of all, I really like this is beyond the basketball on the court. Our assistant coaches have done a great job of putting together good people, and we kind of have a standard criteria. One of our criteria and standards for recruiting players is he the kind of young man that you would like to spend time off the floor on? If you have to go, if we have to leave the office to walk down to the practice floor, and it's a young man that we don't really, you know, you're dreading, go, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be a problem. He's an attitude situation. then we've got the wrong guy. And so I want to give our coaches credit. They've got a, we got just a really good group of young men. And we'll, and what we want are warriors on the floor, and I mean the meanest son of a guns we can find on the floor and the nicest son of a guns we can find off the floor. And gentlemen and that are diplomats of the program, diplomats of the university, diplomats of Hattiesburg, and we've got a good group to work with. So I'm going to first of all say that, but the real reason I feel like that this is our most talented team is a combination of a number of things. One, we're old, which we're going to stay old as long as I continue to have a job here. We're going to, meaning that we've got four players that are in their sixth or seventh year. And we've got a couple of players that are 25 years old or older. So, I mean, that's a huge advantage when you're playing against 17, 18, or 19-year-old guys or in that have been doing it for so long. They understand the process. They understand what it takes to win. So we've got an old basketball team. We've got got to be one of the older teams in Division I. They normally will put that out, but we've got to be one. And so that's first of all. Second of all, we're bigger than we've been. We're more athletic than we've been. We shoot the ball better, but the biggest thing, Dima, is depth. We just have more of those guys. We've had some really good players over the last couple of years. Your Austin Crowley's and your Felipe Isays and DeAndre.
Coach, Pace, if you hold that thought, we're up against a break, and we'll be right back on Super Talk.
Sounds good.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. It's in the bright yellow building right across from the main entrance to campus on Hardy Street. You can't hardly miss it. And with Christmas right around the corner, take your Southern Miss shopping list to Campus Bookmart, and I guarantee you, you'll be able to check everything off of that list by making one stop at Campus Bookmart. They're open 24/7 online at Campus Bookmart. That's with a T. campusbookmart.net. Continuing briefly our discussion with head basketball coach Jay Ladner, whose team will be participating tonight in the black and gold scrimmage that starts at 7 o'clock. It is open to the public. They'd love to see you there. There will be some teachable moments going on, but great chance to, as they unveil this 2024 team. Coach, before we let you go, kind of a follow-up. You talked about your team being older, and you'd like to see that as time goes on. Part of the reason a lot of these teams are older is because of the COVID year, parentheses, S years.
You know,
at what point will all the teams start getting younger? Although, you know, not as old as they are today. Let's put it
this
that way.
This year is going to be the last year of COVID, and the NCAA is really tightened up on exceptions to give guys extra years. But this will be the last year. So you're going to see teams get, I think, significantly younger beginning next season. So we certainly want to take advantage of it as when we can, and we've been able to do that.
I wanted to ask you about the transfer portal window, because I know it changed recently, and your thoughts on that.
Well, it's of course getting close. It's getting a lot shorter for our fans out there that may not understand, Dima, what you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I voted for it.
Okay.
I voted for it, and the reason is. It drags on. You got to give a little bit of control back to the coach and the program, so we know what we're dealing with for next year. And if you have a player and he may wait to the end. You know, as long as he gets in by midnight of the cutoff date, you know, so you may be in the way it is prior to the rule change. It may have been the middle of May, you know,
right.
And so you've missed out on an unbelievable opportunity to recruit other players, and it leaves your program in a lurch, you know.
Yeah.
And so I supported it. I voted for the shortening the window, and I think that will help everyone. And I think it still doesn't hurt the player at all. They still have plenty of time to explore options and move on if that's what they choose to do.
Right.
All right, Coach Jay Ladner, thanks so much. Good luck tonight.
Always great seeing y'all. Hopefully we have a great crowd tonight to watch the guys. And we're getting started. And, again, I want to personally thank y'all, Bob, you as well, for the great support over the years and hanging with us during our rebuild. And hopefully we're ready to take that next step with our program. But I do appreciate y'all.
As we've said from day one, we're with you win or tie.
yeah, just like everybody else, right?
That's right.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
And Kelly is counting down the days until Brewski's next week.
Yeah, that's right. That's going to take place at Brewski's. That's just one more night I've got to check on my list. Hey, don't forget Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. I actually got to ride in Bob Getty's car.
I did too, to Laurel.
It had to be tinted. He didn't want anybody to know that I was in his car. But you can visit all their new Genesis vehicles in the showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And a shout out to Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street. You can check them out on Facebook, Mobay Beignet, Mobay, M-O-B-A-Y, Beignet Co. Company, Hattiesburg, on Facebook, which will be the official
spot.
Contest spot for the beignet eating contest between me and Dima Mixon.
And sources say that Heath Hinton has said that he can out-eat both of us.
You know what? I think you'd probably get even money on that.
That's a push.
Hey, some Sun Belt football action last night saw South Alabama handle Troy pretty easily. There's more Sun Belt action tonight and tomorrow night. Demon, we'll get to that later on in news and notes, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about that South Al Troy game. Troy is really struggling, aren't they?
They are. They really are. I mean, they couldn't move the ball at all. I mean, it was just bad. It's just bad all in all bad. You know, you look at that game at the end of the season, Southern Miss going to Troy. You know, you would hope that that'd be one that the Golden Eagles could figure out a way to win. But, I mean, if both of these seasons continue in the trend that it seems like they're continuing for both administrations, that game might be a battle of 1-10s.
Well, it's Thanksgiving weekend as well, which generally speaking in college football, the Thanksgiving weekend games aren't attended as well as
most
others.
People would call that game with the sickos committee game, and you probably will be pretty sick after all that turkey we're going to be eating on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what is the stuff that's in the turkey that puts you to sleep? What are they?
I don't know.
Of course, the one time that I need to come up with that name, you know, I can't come up with it. But Southern Miss getting ready to take on Arkansas State this weekend. That's homecoming on campus, the 6 o'clock kickoff. And that game will be televised on ESPN Plus tomorrow on the program. Matt Stoltz will be joining us. He is the voice of the Arkansas State Red Wolves. And, you know, when you look at this game, Dima, a lot of people are kind of questioning, you know, the line on this game, which we never encourage people to bet, but I'm just saying for entertainment purposes, Arkansas State, a 6.5-point favorite, and that has a lot of people scratching their heads going, that seems to some people to be kind of a low number. So are the odds makers expecting more from Southern Miss, or are people thinking too much of Arkansas State?
Well, I don't know if it was what Arkansas State did last week at Texas State, but on the road, Arkansas State has not been very good. Now, granted, the teams they played on the road, I don't think really anybody in the Sun Belt would be pretty good against other than maybe JMU. But at Michigan, at Iowa State, at Texas State, you would think that those would be three losses. But, you know, Arkansas State really should have lost that first game to Central Arkansas. It was that weird in the corner play that probably should have been overturned. They barely beat Tulsa, but they did beat Tulsa, and then they squeaked out a win against South Alabama, who looked pretty dang good last night. So I think that line to me is about right, 6.5. It is homecoming for Southern Miss. Southern Miss is absolutely as desperate as can be for a win. I mean, Kelly, if they lose this week, I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule, I mean, it's hard to pick out a win.
Well, they go into Murderer's Row the next three, right?
They haven't even faced the toughest part of their schedule yet, and it's hard to pick out a win until they play that game at Troy. You're going to James Madison next week. You got Marshall at home the following week, at Texas State, and then back home against South Alabama. I mean, that is a brutal road for this team who has shown an absolute no competition from the offensive side of the ball. And against those teams, you're going to need offensive points.
And the next home game after the homecoming game this Saturday, as Dima mentioned, in 2 or 3 weeks against Marshall. And you want to talk about a team that's playing really good football right now.
Right.
And I'm a little bit surprised. I did not think that Marshall was going to be as good as the Thundering Herd are appearing to be. And they've got one of these funky games that are coming up tonight, right?
Yes, George.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night. But,
okay.
Yeah, and Marshall was a team. You talked to Coach Huff at Sunbelt Media Day, and he said that Southern Miss and Marshall seemed like to be very comparative programs, that both of them kind of were laying low. People didn't expect much out of them. And Marshall they're 3-3. I think they're at the spot where we thought Southern Miss would be this season, coming into the season. And I think that, to me, is, I keep going back to just stunned. It's just unbelievable that Southern Miss is at the point it is now, 1-5. We're talking about whether or not they may even win another game this season, which is, on a Southern Miss show, is just hard to say, but we got to say it like it is. And it's just, it's unbelievable. Now, this weekend, I thought last week was a chance for Southern Miss to turn the ship around. I still think it could be possible this week. But again, if they don't win this week, man, it's going to be a long month.
Well, one of the things, and we'll get to talk with Matt Stoltz tomorrow about this, the radio voice of the Red Wolves. One of the things that has kind of surprised me in a negative way is the Red Wolves have now a 2-year starter quarterback, and the offense has just, and I know, granted, they have played some tough teams, but the offense has been inconsistent and sometimes just lackluster, just not very good. So if there is a ray of hope, you know, for the Eagles, which the Eagles, generally speaking, the defense has been a better unit than the offensive unit has. I think we can agree with that. So if the weakness of the Red Wolves plays into the strength of the Eagles, maybe that's where that mere 6.5-point spread comes from. That makes sense, doesn't it, on the surface?
Yeah, I don't mind the 6.5. And you know, I might even, when we get to our picks on Friday, I might still take Arkansas State to cover it. But I don't know. It's like, coming into the season, we thought that Arkansas State was a dark horse to win the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And they're sitting here with one loss in the Sun Belt to probably the best team in the Sun Belt in Texas State. And then their other two losses are to Michigan and Iowa State.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to expect of them other than, well, to come in here and do. I expect maybe this might be the best game Arkansas State has played that's quote-unquote on their level. You know, that Central Arkansas game was weird, but they still went on the road and beat Tulsa.
Right.
Know? Like,
yeah.
So I think the Arkansas State, like, they're terrible, is kind of a little, hold on, we'll see what they do against the Golden Eagles this weekend at the Rock.
And when we come back at the end of the show for news and notes, we'll talk about Marshall's game tonight with Georgia State, other football news. Plus, Dima was at football practice this morning. We'll talk a little bit about that. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Carly Makavica, who's the director of baseball operations at Southern Miss, about Trick or Treat at the Pete, scheduled for tomorrow night. So you've got time to get your costumes together and get the kids ready to go. A lot of candy and a little bit of time.
And word on the block is that one of the little kids is dressing up as Kelly Sanner. So,
well, it's going to take all the material they can muster to put that costume together. We'll fill in the blanks with that and more when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by our friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Wednesday night is trivia night. Booty, one of our favorite bar keeps, will have all the trivia questions for you, prizes. They're always giving those away. And, of course, now lots of college football. College football just about every single night of the week. In fact, college or pro games every single night of the week up until Thanksgiving night. 4th Street Bar and Grill, home of the 1095 Plate Lunch. Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon, producer engineer Jeremy Graves. Who I like that shirt, Jeremy. I did not know that you used to work at Pizza Hut. That's a
it looks like it was my grandmother's tablecloth.
And of course, Jeremy can't defend himself. So let's,
he hasn't. You got to unmute your mic to defend yourself.
Yeah, let's talk with Carly Makovic, as she's the director of baseball ops at Southern Miss, about one of the most fun things that kids can do in the fall besides going to the scrimmage games is the now ever popular Trick or Treat at the Pete, which will take place tomorrow night. And Carly's going to fill in the blanks for us. It's supposed to be a perfect night, cool temperatures. Carly, welcome to the Eagle Hour. Thanks for making some time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us more about Trick or Treat at the Pete.
Yeah, so Trick or Treat at the Pete is tomorrow night from 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Just want to say thank you to Community Bank for making this happen. I've heard they have enough candy for everyone, so nice. Make sure to come out.
Well, if you've ever priced chocolate, and they've got enough for everybody, they spent some money on this, huh?
Yeah, this is a fun event that they want to make sure everyone in the community comes out. It's free. It's a free event, and it's open to all ages.
Now, one of the biggest problems people seem to have at events like this is parking, particularly where little kids are going to be running around and sometimes not aware of their surroundings. What do you recommend to people as far as parking goes?
So the P. Taylor Park lot will be open. There's not too many spots in there, so overflow will go to Reed Greed Coliseum. And then you can just take the crosswalks and walk over, and we'll have people sitting at the gate ready to greet you.
Is there a format to it, Carly, like an assembly line where you go here first and then somewhere else second and third, or is it just two-footers or three-footers running around everywhere?
No, it's wherever you want. So we'll have bouncy houses, dunking booths. We'll have Halloween-themed games. You can get in the bullpen area, and we can get you on the radar gun. So you can go to whatever game interests you.
Now, one of the best-kept secrets every year in sports worldwide.
That's right.
Is what the head baseball coach at Southern Miss is going to be dressed as for Trick or Treat at the Pete. Now, Coach Ostrander last year was the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Which certainly makes sense.
Which I don't think we could have had a better picture. That picture of him, you know, doing the arms.
Pete Taylor magic.
That is going to be the most legendary baseball photo of all time.
And I'm
he
not.
He started off on a strong note last year.
I don't know if he's going to be able to top that.
Now we have it from our well-placed sources, Carly, that you and the staff know what Coach Ostrander is going as, but you are not at liberty to discuss it.
That is right. It is a big secret, and it'll be revealed tomorrow at 5 o'clock p.m.
Now, even though this is at Pete Taylor Park, the softball team is very involved in Trick or Treat at the Pete as well, aren't they?
Yes, they are the other host. So us and softball, we all get together and we get dressed up, and they also help fill in at each little section of games.
So can we ask what you're dressing up as? Is that not under wraps?
That is all a secret.
Oh, wow.
Lips are sealed.
What are you dressing up as, Kelly? Can we know?
Well, let's see. Her lips are sealed. Maybe she's going, who was the Go-Go's or the Bangles? Didn't they have a song back in the 80s, My Lips Are Sealed? Maybe that was a clue of some kind.
I think you're going too deep with it.
Okay. That was painful.
Overthinking it, huh, Carly?
Overthinking.
Okay, so tell us, really, the fall season is beginning to wind down, isn't it?
That's right. Yep, we're set to end, I guess that's November 2nd weekend.
Okay, and that's really, where has the fall gone?
I know. Well, that's what I was saying with Coach Ladner a minute ago. Like, basketball season's already here. November, December, 4 months from baseball season?
Now, one of the things that we have been commissioned to ask you, Carly, because some other D1 schools have already dropped their baseball schedules for next year. The Southern Miss schedule, although not released, it is set in stone. Is that right?
Yes, it is in the works to be released, and we're hoping to get that out to the public soon.
Okay, so all the dates that have been scheduled are certain at this point. It's just a matter of who, when, and where, and that'll be revealed sometime soon. Let's talk about the genesis of Pete Taylor Park and Trick or Treat at the Pete. Do you know, it's been going on for a while now. Do you remember how it got started or why it got started?
You know, I don't really know the background story to it, but I do know it has grown. If you just look on Twitter, just keep scrolling back on our page, you can, I was doing it for fun the other day, how it started. There was maybe 10 guests out there, like, with our team. But now, I mean, last year, I think, was the biggest crowd we've had, and it's grown tremendously throughout the years.
Do you use the players literally as crowd control? Because little kids, you know, once they get excited and wound up, like I say, sometimes they're unaware of their surroundings and can get out of hand, so to speak, and maybe get to places where they're not supposed to go. How do you handle crowd management?
Yeah, well, we've got, like I said, all of our players volunteering, all of softball players volunteering, and then Community Bank has a lot of their employees working the event as well. So we all know, we're all on the same page, as, you know, like where you can go, where you can't go. And so we're all on the lookout, and everyone does a good job with the kids. I mean, they get, like you said, they get so excited and worked up, but everyone does a good job with keeping it under control.
I hear when the kids get walk out of the stadium, they'll all get a free toothbrush, right, for all the candy they're eating. No.
Yeah, it really should be sponsored by all the dentists in town.
That's right. You walk around the bases, but then when you leave, you get a free toothbrush, yeah, and all the kids get to learn how to brush their teeth. How just important is it for the kids, you know, just to get to interact with the baseball team in this way, not just seeing them on the field, whether or not it is fall scrimmages or during the season?
Right. I mean, I feel like a lot of these kids, they look up to these players, and I do feel like the players do a great job interacting with the kids and just getting to know them outside of, like you said, baseball. They get to see that they are real human beings and that they're just a few years older than the kids are. And it's really awesome to see our players interact with them. And it's such a fun night because everyone just gets to be a kid at heart. So it's fun.
Kelly, it's just like something with the baseball program that does this trick-or-treating with the kids. Every Sunday, they have the kids run the bases. I mean, they're just really intertwined with making sure there's a connection to see, not only seeing the team on the field, but also connecting with them on a more personal level. And I see them at schools all the time. I see them, you know, on social media and various things.
Well, these are future Golden Eagles.
Right.
I mean, it's a natural, perfect way, you know, to do it, to get them thinking black and gold. And then when it comes time for a college choice, hey, I've been a Golden Eagle my whole life. You know, I've been going to the games. This is the way to do it. Carly, tomorrow night, it's Trick or Treat at the Pete, 5 p.m. Will the doors open right at 5, or are you going to just kind of be casual about it?
Yeah, the doors will open right at 5.
Okay. So, again, parking at the baseball field, but there's not going to be a lot of spots there. If you're familiar with the layout there at 4th Street, there's not a lot of parking spaces there. Overflow at Reed Green Coliseum. And, again, everybody, just take it slow tomorrow night. If you're on 4th Street, be aware that there's going to be a lot of youngsters, you know, running around, mm-hmm. you know, in their Halloween costumes trying to get candy. And if you need to be somewhere quickly, leave early.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would like to add, for those listening, we ask that you do not bring pets. This is not an event where we need pets running around, so please leave your animals at home.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because at a lot of, like, Live at 5 events and things downtown, the different Hub Fest and things, people always seem to bring their animals, and not a place for that to happen, and we appreciate you bringing that to our notice. Carly Makovica, thanks so much. We wish you nothing but the best tomorrow night. Mother Nature's going to cooperate, so it should be a good night.
Yes, well, I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on the show.
All right, Carly Makovica, the Director of Baseball Operations at Southern Miss, the baseball and softball team, entertaining all the kids tomorrow night for Trick or Treat at the Pete from 5 to 7 p.m. And I hope maybe there'll be some Kit Kat bars. What?
Yeah, I was hoping there was going to be some leftover candy as well.
You're a Snickers guy?
Sour Patch.
Oh, you like the tart kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
see, I don't like chocolate. Chocolate's not my thing. Sour Patch, Skittles, Airheads, all like the fruity sour stuff is my favorite.
Kit Kat, Snickers, Milky Ways.
What about you, Jeremy?
Butterfingers, Baby Ruths. Of course, they've all got chocolate in them.
Yeah, what does Jeremy like?
I'm a fan of Reese's.
Reese's.
Okay.
Okay.
The chocolate. Yeah, that's always one of the. But you got to get the big ones.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, yeah. In the neighborhood, absolutely. You don't want to be known as that cheap person that just.
See, I didn't like when I used to trick or treat all the wax candies that they used to give out.
The plastic, the lips.
You start
the,
chewing them, you're like, it's just getting bigger.
I don't think those are around much
hopefully
anymore.
Hopefully, those aren't anywhere near us.
We'll see you at the Pete tomorrow night from 5 to 7. When we come back, news and notes. There's some Sun Belt football action tonight to talk about, plus a recap of the Southern Miss Golden Eagle football practice this morning. That and more stuff. When the Eagle Hour continues after this break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
We're glad that you are. This final segment of the Eagle Hour today brought to you by DBAT on Highway 98, just as you get off of Interstate 59. Now that softball and baseball season, the competitive season, is wound down, you need to get in there to work on speed and agility, other things, in a immaculate, state-of-the-art facility. Whether you're there for softball or baseball or for individual training, just become a better athlete. And don't forget their pro shop, too, as Christmas approaches. That's DBAT on Hardy Street. Right, like I said, right off of Interstate 59, big supporters of this program and Southern Miss. And a lot of you have been downloading the Super Eagle Hour podcast, and we thank you for doing that. You can do that on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and YouTube. And again, a lot of that is Mandarin Chinese to somebody my age, all this downloading and all that kind of stuff. But we appreciate the fact that you do that. Or you can just tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Dima, we mentioned last night how good South Al looked, albeit against Troy. But there's more action tonight in the Sun Belt and a game tomorrow night as well. Let's start there with news and notes.
Yes, so action not in the Sun Belt, but there is Southern NCAA football tonight.
Right.
You got Western Kentucky at South Sam Houston State, excuse me, almost at South, FIU at UTEP tonight as well. But tomorrow night in the Sun Belt, we got two games for the Sun Belt, one game for the Sun Belt, excuse me, there's one on Friday night too. So Georgia State is taking on Marshall on the road at Marshall. Marshall, as we've said on the show already, that they have looked exceptionally good. Then you got Boston College at Virginia Tech. And then Friday night, you got some games as well before a full Sun Belt slate on Saturday. Then obviously last night, 25-9 victory for South Alabama over the Trojans. South Alabama kind of having that, like, one week they're good, one week they're not sort of thing. I don't really know what's going on with them. They're 3-4, but they're almost like a fake bad 3-4. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, but their defense, the Jags defense really hasn't. I mean, they've been able to put up some points. Mm-hmm. But their defense just has not been very good. Really, when you look at and Troy's offense.
Yeah,
you would think that Troy would have been able to go in there and score some points at a stadium in Mobile, by the way, that was sold out last night. A Troy-South Alabama game. Of course, it is a battle of Alabama. But you would think that Troy would be able to put up more numbers on that offense. So, dare I say it, their records reflect each other. But Southern Miss and Troy look a lot of like, both in the win-loss column, but also on the field itself, yes?
Yeah, no doubt. Southern Miss Women's Volleyball is back in action tomorrow night at the Southern Miss Wellness Center. They're playing South Alabama at home, and we should remind everybody that the volleyball team is 8-10 overall, but they're 4-2 in conference, so they are hanging in there as far as conference standings go, which, as we've talked about so many times, that's what's the most important. You know, maybe winning those early games, non-conference games, you know, kind of feeling it out, but they're starting to really hit a stride here, Kelly.
And here's a neat note about the volleyball team. They are tied for second place in the West. The team that's ahead of them is Arkansas State. They've already beaten Arkansas State. So if they can get to a situation in the second half of the season where they and Arkansas State battle for that first place spot and can even get the tie, they would get the tiebreaker against Arkansas State.
And Southern Miss has been really good at home in volleyball. They're 4-1 at home and then 4-5 on the road. So seems like a home game here against South Alabama. Potential for them to keep getting on track with that volleyball team. As we already mentioned, Southern Miss football in action this weekend against the Arkansas State Red Wolves. The depth chart was released this morning after a practice that I was attended. There wasn't really anything notable changes on the depth chart today, but I will say, though, that, you know, it is very clear. The one big thing that is clear is that Ethan Crawford is now the starter, and that's something that Coach Hall told us on Monday, but now it's solidified in the depth chart. There isn't any more oars. Ethan Crawford is your QB1, and everything else pretty much is staying the same for the Golden Eagles against the Red Wolves. And, you know, Ethan kind of coming back from that injury. He told us, Will told me this morning, that Ethan is going to be 100% on Saturday, and he wasn't 100% last week. So maybe some of those overthrows, maybe some of those where he's trying to force it, you know, hopefully he can just be Ethan this weekend against the Red Wolves in a game that is an absolute, you know, must win if there's any salvaging of the season.
How would you term Will's demeanor today in his post-practice press conference? Pretty upbeat, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, he's always going to be upbeat. I mean, he always makes positive out of maybe a negative view. But, you know, it's just hard to be upbeat about this team right now. And I actually asked him, I said, hey, Will, you know, what would it be if this team actually won a game? Like, if they won a game, do you think some of these issues would turn around? And it's something we talked about with ULM last week. And he said, absolutely. He thinks that would be the biggest way for them to turn the season around and maybe move in the direction where they thought they were going to move at the beginning of the season.
But here's the problem now. One of the goals, among other problems, but one of the goals that you set for yourself at the beginning of the year is to win your division,
correct,
right? Win the Western Division.
Yep.
Well, you're already behind the eight ball there.
Yeah, right? They probably don't have really a good chance to get there.
Okay, so that means you're not going to get to play for the conference championship, all right? So you have to check those off the list. Then the next thing would be become bowl eligible. Well, they'd have to win out.
Yeah, they'd only be able to lose one game because they're 1-5.
That's right.
So they need 5 out of the next 6. That's a tall task. That means they'd have to split the JMU-Texas State
game. Especially with Murderers Row coming up. You're right. Tomorrow on the program, our junior college update with Mike Frazier from JUCOweekly.org and Matt Stoltz, the radio voice of the Arkansas State Red Wolves, among other guests scheduled for tomorrow's Eagle Hour. We hope that you will make plans to join us as well. For Dima Mixon and producer engineer Jeremy Graves, I'm Kelly Sander. Thanks for joining us. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we always say Southern Miss
to the top.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.